Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Once upon a time, there was a toy maker named Geppetto, who more than anything else, wanted to have a child of his very own. He started to make a wooden puppet to keep him company. Geppetto took a piece of very good wood and carefully started to carve the face. He made the face to look like the boy he wished for. Then he took a chisel and a hammer and began to carve the rest of the puppet. As soon as the hammer hit the chisel, he heard a little voice say,
"Ouch! That hurts!"
Geppetto thought somebody was joking and started looking in the closets and under the workbenches.
"Anyone here? Come on out and let me see you."
No one answered. He continued his work and took some sandpaper to smooth the wood. This time, he heard someone giggle.
"That tickles! Stop it, please!"
"Who are you?"
There was no answer. He went back to work and finished the puppet. When he turned around to pick up something, the puppet suddenly moved and upset a can of paint onto the floor.
"What a mess! Who could have done that?"
The puppet smiled at him and said,
"Hello, Father. I did it."
The toy maker was very happy that his wish had come true. He now had his little boy and named him Pinocchio.
The story of Pinocchio. And how does it end?
Well, he tells lies. His nose grows longer and longer. But in the end, he does something brave, and he becomes a real boy just like he wanted.
And so, really, it's a moral story. It's from Disney. Don't tell lies, and you'll become what you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if it were only that easy with the commandments. Don't do that, and you'll be... And here, don't tell lies... Speak good to people, and you will be a child of God. Well, let's look at the commandment here and see what it really tells us. Isn't it amazing? History is filled with traitors. I mean, there's even books written about traitors.
Yeah.
In every nation, it seems, every country, every era. Some are rather unique, and we seem to glorify some of these traitors in a way. I don't know if it's something in us that's kind of, ooh, this guy's kind of interesting. Jesse James, the bandit, it was one of his gang members, was standing behind him when Jesse was fixing a picture on the wall, and he just shot him in the head.
Robert Hansen and Aldrich Ames were spies who did horrible things. They sold out millions of dollars worth of information to the Russians and to others.
From America. That's right. I'd forgotten about them. Well, another spy was Riley. He was in England. He was probably considered the most, well, they even said it's kind of like his life is James Bondish because James Bond.
His novels are based on
Riley.
Riley. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was a double, triple, and at one point a four-time spy, trading secrets to whomever would have it.
Yeah, even during his interrogation, he was trying to sell out interrogation techniques.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. We have some here in the United States that people are familiar with the play Hamilton. It came back again about Benedict Arnold.
Ah, yes. The one who didn't think that he was being promoted enough. The one who had some great ideas. He was a general in the United States.
Really? My wife was reading a history book about the colonial times, and he was a major, impressive general for the United States. Well, at that time, it was the rebels.
The colonies.
Colonies.
Yeah.
And as you were saying then,
he decided he wasn't being promoted enough, so he went and told some secrets to the British. When the British surrendered, he decided it would be a good idea to go to England.
Well, he had to, otherwise he would have been killed.
Mm-hmm. I believe, but even, he was a general there too.
He was a general there too. Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. There are so many people who have betrayed. Probably. Well, how about the Ides of March? Beware of the Ides of March.
Julius Caesar, Cassius, and Brutus.
Yeah.
Killing Julius Caesar.
Two senators in the Roman Republic, and just talking to him in the corner, and stabbed him, I don't know, 23 times or something, left him to bleed to death. Started a huge civil war in, I think it was 44 BC, major turn of events. Yeah. And for us, probably as Christians, we think of Judas.
Judas, yeah.
Boy, he led people to arrest Jesus. They had to do it at nighttime because he was so popular. People would have been in a big rebellious uproar if they would have tried to arrest Jesus during the day. So Judas said, I'll lead you to him at nighttime, and I'll identify him with a kiss. And he kissed him, and they rushed in and arrested him. Oh, what a betrayal of Judas by Judas of Jesus.
But it wasn't just Judas that betrayed Jesus.
Well, you're right. I mean, he did on earth, mm-hmm. was the one who did the kiss.
But it was our sin.
That's why Jesus had to die. Jesus. Yeah. Willing to be betrayed because of, well,
me.
And me. At the heart and center of a betrayal, it's telling a truth when you're not supposed to. I mean, Benedict Arnold is the perfect example. He told truths about his country's position, locations, and things so that the British could attack and win a battle.
And then there's the opposite extreme, the out-and-out lie. I didn't eat the cake, Mom. Honest, I didn't.
Protecting oneself.
I am the president of this chapter. I am the chairman of this committee. I am the vice president of the resolutions committee and have been for 6 years in a row.
Self-promotion.
If I just put so-and-so's child on my tax return, I'll get more money, and rent is going up. And hey, who's it going to hurt anyway?
Oh, the good old self-gain. No matter which way you look at it, they're all lies, whether it's protection, promotion, or self-gain. But whether it's a little lie, a small lie, a white lie. you like watching Judge Judy, and what does she say?
If you tell the truth, you don't have to develop a good memory.
A lie is a lie is a lie. And God is saying, tell the truth. In this topic of lying, and of course then speaking the truth, first we talked about betrayal, which is speaking the truth, but that to your enemy, to betray a person. Or there is the not speaking the truth to somebody who you maybe should, and that's a lie. We have one other thing that falls into this, and that is, rather than me telling, Cecilia, you were telling me a while back, somebody gave you an appliance in this situation, I think, could fit. And I give you full permission to let me have all your thoughts about it?
Okay. I had just moved, and this person brought over this microwave oven. They had bought it brand new on loan, and they were so excited about it. And they plugged it in, and they said, "Sorry, I'm in a hurry. I have to go now." And I can't believe this, but I looked at the microwave, and the panel was absolutely flat.
Ooh. Now, for those of you who aren't fully what that means, being blind and a flat screen...
means that using the thing is nigh on impossible.
Yeah, it's all touch.
I can't believe that this person wasn't thinking. I wondered, what are you thinking when they got this thing from the store? I mean... They know that I'm blind. They know that I can't read the touch screen. I mean, what were they, a ditz brain?
Okay. Thank you. You did great. And it's easy sometimes to really, from the one thing that didn't work out well, then to jump to speaking poorly about a person. And we call it slander. It's moving to denounce somebody or make their reputation bad. And the commandment speaks against this, that we shouldn't be slandering a person just because of some action that they did. But in fact, the commandment says don't slander, but the opposite we should speak well of. So how could you speak well of this person?
They
thought about you?
Yes.
They saw a need and wanted to help meet it?
Yes.
Maybe they had one and thought, oh, I love it, and so I want to get the best for them because it worked really well for me.
And they did spend their money on it.
They did spend their money, yeah. And so speaking well, so maybe the story would be, well, the person wanted to help me, but... Now, didn't quite get it right, but boy, they sure were kind and wanting to help me. It's just the way you look at it, the difference between slandering and speaking well. And sometimes slandering becomes gossip, too, telling others, and it makes them smaller. Let me give you an example and see, Cecilia, if you can pick up on this and change it. Okay, here's the scenario. Oh, can you believe it? That person's running for high school president. Oh, she doesn't really need to be president. All she's doing is running a popularity contest so she can be the most seen as the most glamorous person. It's all about her. She's always got the smile on her face, and she just wants it to be spattered everywhere so everyone will see that she's somebody special.
Ah. Sounds like the type of person that had a smile on their face a lot of the time. You can't fake that when it's just election time.
Well, that's true. She was always friendly to people. I guess you're right.
What? And she was friendly to you, I take it?
Well, yeah. She actually was one of my readers in English class.
Oh, wow. And I'll bet she had a smile on her face during English class.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sounds like someone I'd like to know.
Thank you, Cecilia. You did a wonderful job there in bringing out the best of people. That's what this commandment is trying to bring us to. Instead of looking at the person in a negative way, always look in a positive way. Doesn't mean we should overlook things if they truly do something. I remember you telling me a situation where you had a worker come to your house once and they did steal from you?
Yes.
Well, you can't deny that. But I remember you saying, but they sure did work hard and they sure did help with around. And, you know, patting them on the back for those things, that would be a good thing. So, yeah, it's a fine line. But what the commandment is working us to lead us to... direct us to is seeing people and their reputation in the best way possible.
You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor.
And in Luther's catechism after the commandment, it says, what does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. So why this commandment? Why did God put it in here in the first place?
Well, remember early on we spoke about the commandments being on two stone tablets?
Yes.
And the first one was dealing with our relationship with God, and the second one is dealing with our relationship with fellow people. In the first tablet, actually, there's one about dealing with God and his name. Speaking honestly. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Well, now it's repeating the same thing, but towards people. You see, the Hebrews, they had a twofold person. The Greek world saw a person as body, soul, and spirit. But the Hebrews, they saw him as an outer person and an inner person. The inner person is your thoughts and feelings, emotions, your willpower. And sometimes they reflect out, but they're within, and that's what God sees. But then there's the outer person, and that's your actions, your words, and your deeds. And this commandment about don't lie, but protect your neighbor's reputation is about this outer nature, that you speak well of your neighbor, because it's all about one's reputation, who they are.
Yeah, like Richard Nixon, for instance.
A president who, I've never cheated, I've not spoken a lie, and he was caught doing it. So that's what he's known for.
Like Bill Clinton.
Oh, another one. I've never smoked. And then he got caught with other lies, yeah?
I did not do anything wrong, yeah. Like Mahatma Gandhi.
Ooh, on the flip side, the positive reputation, yeah. Known as a person of passivity, but of strong conviction and helped free a whole country into independence, but did so peacefully.
And like Mother Teresa.
Oh, another good one. Somebody went out of her way to help people, even when it put her life in danger. I'm sure Mother Teresa did some sins. I bet you Mahatma Gandhi did. As well as we know those other two presidents you mentioned, they did good things, both as people and individuals. But reputation kind of covers their whole life and how we view them. And that's what this commandment is all about, protecting one's reputation.
Matthew 26:59-61. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'"
This section, of course, is from Jesus' trial. False witnesses. Boy, you talk about facing slander of reputation. At first they couldn't because Jesus was perfect. And then they took the truth and twisted it to be a falsehood. Certainly he did destroy the temple of God and rebuilt it, his very body, because he rose from the dead. And because the innocent one did that, you and I are forgiven for the times
we slander others.
Or lie.
We betray others.
Yeah. Jesus understands when it happens to us and how it hurts. And that's why he's there to help us and give us strength so that we'll stop and instead defend and speak well of and put the best manner of understanding on a person's life. That's our Jesus. He does that for you and for me.
All the time. If you want to write to us and talk to us about this, tell us about a time when you've been hurt or when you've hurt someone else. Please do so.
You can do so by writing to us at
info at not-alone
not-alone
.net
N-E-T.
And remember,
we
are not alone.
I will lead the blind by the ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Interlude musicians Robert Vaughn and Terry Nord, and the Superscope storyteller Pinocchio.